Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday, February 25th. And we are excited to bring you a program tonight. There's all kinds of things going on in the world, and there's a lot of questions and answers that we need to solve. I mean, there's so much going on, and we want to give you our opinions on where we think men are thinking things should be. I want to welcome my panelists. How are you guys doing this evening?
Doing wonderful. It's sunny in Michigan.
Great. It's sunny in Florida as well.
All right.
Michigan?
Yeah, be quiet from the cheap seats.
No, sunny in Michigan. I'm glad you guys got some sun. It's, you know,
yeah, it is rare.
Horrible weather up there.
It is rare in the winter.
One of the things I want to start with, and I want to get into tonight, trying to go around the table and talk about some solutions to some of the issues that are prevalent in the news. It seems that the issues that have been in the news have been in there for forever, and we can't seem to get a handle on it. But before I do that, the one thing that keeps popping up is this military parade that Trump keeps trying to push. What do you guys think about a military parade? What do you think, first of all, why do we need one? It'll be very expensive. You know how much money it will cost to do a military parade, and where are you going to do it, and why are we doing it? To show off our power? I thought we were the most powerful country. Why do we need to flaunt that? What do you tell me, Don, what do you think about a military parade, you know, somewhere for the nation?
Hello, everyone. Don is in total disagreement with that. I don't even think we need a military parade. Why do we need to flaunt the military might that the United States has? You know, it's like a big bully. You know, I got a gun. I got a machine gun. You got a handgun. I need to show you my machine gun so it will intimidate you. Why would we even think about something like that? I mean, it's asinine. I don't understand it.
Well, the president says that it will be great for the country spirit, that the country spirit be lifted if we have a military parade. What are you thinking about that, Jeremiah?
Actually, the first thing that comes to mind is, if I'm remembering correctly, Trump was held out of being an NFL owner. So maybe to him, that's his way of having his NFL parade or Super Bowl parade or having some type of parade-ish activity now that he's a president with the military. But I agree with Mr. Wiggins. I don't think our military needs a parade. What are we doing this for? In the remembrance of our lost troops? What are we doing a parade for?
It reminds me of the days of World War One and Two. You know, we saw all that footage of, you know, military being, but what do you think, John? Do you think the United States needs a military parade, and what good is it?
I think it's a great idea, and we're actually thinking about going out to attend it. You know, you're talking about Trump needing a Super Bowl parade. Trump had his parade. It was the inauguration parade right after his election, so he's already had his parade.
Yeah.
He doesn't need another one. If you've ever been, and I have been at a graduation down at Camp Lejeune for my brother-in-law, who was a Marine, who was in Desert Storm, they have parades at graduation, military parades with the troops marching and everything else. So, you know, to have something like this in D.C. where you're going to be able to show a little bit of national pride. I know the liberals and Democrats, they hate it because it's all about, you know, us being better than the rest of the world, which kind of, you know, a little bit contradictory when we have an Olympics. You know, I mean, we should just give everybody participation trophies if we don't want to be better than the rest of the world. So I see absolutely no reason why we shouldn't have it.
You know, all the presidents since Dwight the Eisenhower have frowned on military parades. It comes up for all the presidents, and they've all shot it down. And so his theory was a military parade would just it's just a waste of money and time. And if you're one of the major powers, why do you need to flaunt what you have? So that was Dwight D. Eisenhower, and the other presidents have shot it down too. So why do we need it now, John? Why do you think we need it now?
Well, I mean, who's saying they want to have it? And, you know, if the presidents are shooting it down, it must mean somebody wants to have it. So if it's the military that, and, you know, the officers and the commanders and everything else and the generals who want to have it, you know, why shouldn't you have it? I mean, we have parades for winning sports teams. We've got gay parades. I mean, we've got all kinds of parades out there. Why can't we? And if you're worried about cost, I mean, there's rumors we're paying $10,000 for a toilet for the space shuttle. I mean, you want to talk about wasting money? You know, I mean, there's a whole list of stuff we could talk about wasting money. So, you know, I mean, obviously somebody wants it if the presidents have turned it down. So if it's the military that wants to have a parade to be able to show off their type of stuff, I mean, we have car shows to show off the new models of, you know, of cars. We've got fishing shows that show off the new models of boats and lures and motorcycle shows. I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff that shows off what different manufacturers and different inventors and everything else come up with. I mean, I don't all of a sudden now, just because it's the military, you know, it's wrong to do it.
But do you think it will raise the country's spirit? That's what the reason Mr. Trump said he wants to have the parade is for the country's spirit. Do you think it will raise the spirit in the country having a parade? Having a military parade?
Oh, I think so. I mean, just like, you know, we went back to playing baseball after 9/11 and, you know, when Bush threw out the first pitch. I mean, you know, and for 1 year or year and a half or 2 years, we all act like civilized, you know, Americans where we all got behind the country, and that sure went away. You know, so, no, I have absolutely no problem with it.
Okay. What about you, Bruce? What do you think?
Well, you know me, I always try and figure out as much, many different aspects of this. If Trump truly wants to fan the flame of patriotism, which all of us should be behind, we can disagree on how to do that, but if that is his ultimate goal and not just to show off, then and he wants to start a better job of pulling us all together, even if we go kicking and screaming, some of us, then maybe what he ought to do in some efficient communication way, which he seems to be able to get his word out. He says, you know, maybe, you know, some of you like the idea of a parade, some of you don't. Here's why I wanted to have it, but I'm willing to look at different ideas. What do you think we should do? This is why I want to do it. With that idea in mind, how should we celebrate either, whether it's patriotism, the USA, diversity coming together, any or all of that, then give me some ideas, because I want to do something we haven't done. I want to do something that in some way will help pull us closer together. And I think we need that, whether that's a military parade or some other kind of parade or some other kind of show of patriotism. That is what I'm for.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure where it's going to go, because I know that the military parade, I'm not sure that there has to be any agreement between Congress and Senate on having it. I think the president can just say he wants to have one and have one. I'm not sure how that really works. I tried to find out, but there's not much written about it, because I guess we haven't had one in ever so long. So I don't know how it's going to work. I do know that he wants to have one, and if he does, I assume we will have one, and I assume it will be in Washington, D.C. if they do, because that's where the Pentagon is. So but I just hope
David,
that
David
does do it.
Let me add
the country spirit. Go ahead. Somebody was talking. Is that you, Bruce?
No, I'm sorry. It was Bruce. Bruce. Okay. Many times if you have absolute power,
and you don't use it, but you pull other people in to make the decision for you, you can even be more influential, more powerful. Just because you have the biggest stick and say, well, I'm going to do this, whether you like it or not, or I'm going to do this because I don't have to get permission from anybody else, doesn't mean you have to do that. You can many times relinquish some of that power and try and get a consensus of some sort to get it done.
Well, but do we I wonder how big the parade is, because aren't most of our men in Afghanistan and all those kind of places? So I guess I don't know what we're showing off, because he increased the military budget. Maybe they're buying a bunch of new stuff and he just wants to show it off that we have it. I'm not sure, because most of our men are still in Afghanistan. And so why would we have one when half the people are still gone? I'm not for it or against it. I just want to know if it lifts the country spirit, I would be glad, but I don't see that happening, because I get the comments when I've been doing the research. Most people I talk to don't understand why we need to have one. So, but I do understand there are those that do think we should have them too. So, but anyway, I want to move on, because I want to talk about something that Bruce usually tries to get us to talk about. And I wanted to come up with today, we talk about solutions to certain issues, and we will not probably come to a definite solution on a lot of the issues, but I do think a direction for solutions. And the first one is, of course, this gun control that keeps popping up and everybody keeps talking. I know that so far, 7 out of 10 people in the United States done through a poll favor tightening gun laws, but 99% of them don't expect Congress to pass or do anything about it. So let us try to figure out what we can do about it. I think as men across this nation, we need to figure out something, because we have, you know, we have since the last school shooting, there have been mall shootings, there have been other store shootings, there have been people behind the counter shooting. There was a daughter and a father shot a guy who was stealing something out of a store. They just got their guns out and shot him. So there's a lot of gun shooting going on right now, and we need to come up with a control of some sort. I'm not saying take the guns away. I'm not saying, but I do think something should happen. John, what do you think should happen? I mean, do you think that we do need some control? And if we do, what do you think should happen?
Well, number one, you already have, I mean, so many laws on the books. And so I think what you need to do is the first thing, especially in that Florida county, is to actually hire police officers who are willing to do their job. You know, number one, coming onto a gun-free zone with a semi-automatic rifle, number one, that's against the law. Then you have a police officer who's supposed to be there to serve and protect, who stands outside and does not go in and confront the guy shooting the gun off. And so it's like, well, you know, if you're not going to enforce the laws, what good are you going to do, you know, any more laws? You're not going to be able to ban all of the guns. But what you can do is you can ban or try to be able to get the people who aren't supposed to have these guns from getting them in their hands. And from what I've been reading from this kid, he was bullied by the same kids in that high school. That was in the Miami Herald. Another magazine or article said that this kid had been put into, he had mental, a couple of things where they, where they checked him out, for mental capacity and stuff. And he was diagnosed with, ADHD and depression and OCD. And he also had autism. And he had, according to his family and friends, he had, history of outbursts where he would punch holes in the walls and stuff. And he threatened to bring, the gun. So, I mean, you've got all of these things here where you're not supposed to legally be able to own a gun. I mean, if you've got, OCD and autism and you're diagnosed with depression, that right there, should have set off the alert with the FBI and whoever did the background check when he did the paperwork, but nobody filed any of the paperwork. They refused to do it. And they, I've also read where in Florida they refused to commit him to a hospital for evaluation because they thought it might have been, you know, they were rushing to judgment. So, you know, you're not going to follow the laws. You're not going to try to protect anybody if a law has been broken. You're not going to arrest him while he's on, breaking the law, bringing a gun onto the thing. So, I mean, what else can you do?
Well, something has to. We need to come up with something. What about you, Don? What do you think?
The main issue is if you will go back about, I'd say, I don't know what period of time, but if you will go back, we made a grave mistake by not funding these mental institutions. I remember growing up in Michigan where people that had psychological problems could go and get help, or we'd send them to get help in Ypsilanti. Ypsilanti was a place where people could go to psych wards and get help. Now, I have quite a few friends on the police department here in Miami and South Florida, and they tell me that the number one problem they have is confronting people that are psychologically deranged, people that have psychological issues that they can't do anything about because they have human rights. Now, that's a major problem. This gentleman that did the shooting here in Florida, he had psychological problems. He should have never had a gun. Number one, he should have never even got a gun. It behooves me. We're able to do all types of things with young people, and they have to be 21 to get a driver's license, 21 to buy liquor, but you can be 15, 16 years old to buy a machine gun. Now that is stupid. Just stupid. And then, John, you hit it on the head. If I hire you to do a job, if I train you to do a job, if I give you a gun, if I give you a badge, I expect you to protect me and do your job. That's the most a leader can do. And Sheriff Israel is under attack right now because of a grave mistake or a coward act by some of the officers here in Broward County. And it's just crazy. But the main thing is that we need to address the gun laws. We need to address it and quit sweeping it under the rug. And that's what we need to do.
Okay. What about you, Jeremiah? What do you think?
Sibley saying the gun laws need to be addressed. We've seen a negative situation happen time and time again. And how many times do you need them to happen to address the situation? So it's overdue. It's past due.
What gun laws don't we have that you'd like to see implemented?
Here's what we need to have done, John. Those high-powered weapons that you could buy to kill a person four or five times need to be addressed. That's what needs to be addressed. The high-powered rifles that kill people numerous times. If you look at the guns that have been used to go into the church and the guns that have been used to go into these schools, it's the same gun. It's the same weapon.
Or airports.
Or airports.
Okay, now what would you rather be shot by? Would you rather be shot by a .223 or would you rather be shot by a shotgun?
I would rather be shot by nothing.
So you're talking about a high-powered rifle that puts out, one round every pull of the trigger, where combined with a shotgun that will literally rip your head off. A .223 will not do that, trust me. We've gone out to pumpkin shoots. We've shot different ammos, different calibers of weapons, everything from a .22 up to a .50 cal. And let me tell you something. A shotgun will do more damage to you than an AR will. And now with these Benelli semi-automatic shotguns, I'd take my chance against an AR before I would one of these new shotguns.
But John, you're not a police officer. You're not one of these parents. You're not one of these faculty members. You're not an employee at the airport. You're none of those things. So, of course, you wouldn't understand, like, one of these people has been shot already or dead already or injured already.
But what I do understand is that if they don't like guns, they don't want to handle guns, then they placed all of their hope in the fact that that police officer who was there and trained to be there would have stopped the perpetrator. Me, when I carry every day and something goes down or somebody's shooting at me, I'm certainly not waiting to see if the cop who's going to show up is going to be one of those guys who just wants to get his paycheck 9 to 5 or who ends up going and wants to go back to his family. And that's the difference between what I hear from liberal friends and my conservative friends who are gun owners. I mean, we're not expecting the government to come in here and give us handouts or food stamps or anything else. We go out and work every day, so we don't have to do that. We also don't sit around, and if something's going to go bad, we're going to sit here and wait for the police to show up and figure out, decide if they're going to be willing to protect us that day. And that's the difference, and that's what these people don't understand. And there are plenty of parents whose kids were shot who are saying the same exact thing. Arm these teachers or someone that's trained in these schools. If you're not going to be able to stop a guy who has been warned 30 times that he's got a problem, okay, then you know what? A lot of the responsibility falls on that administration and the superintendents of them schools who are failing to harden these targets of these schools. I mean, you know, last week Frank had made a comment that, you know, you'll never see this happen on a military base, and unfortunately we ran out of time, but I would have reminded him of Fort Hood, where all of the members of the military in Fort Hood, they had to keep their guns in their lockers, and some guy, a military guy, gets in there, has a gun on his property, knew nobody else would be armed in there. So, you know, there's a difference, and that's what these people have to understand. If the police aren't going to protect you and come out and protect you, and response time is twice as long as these shootings occur, you better find a way to protect yourself, and putting a notebook in front of your head or hiding behind a desk isn't going to do it.
You wouldn't mind paying higher taxes just to hire more police officers, would you?
No, absolutely not. If you knew the amount of taxes I pay in a year, you wouldn't believe the amount of taxes. And we don't have kids. And, I mean, we pay school tax. You know,
I said more because it's going to come out of the taxpayer's budget to hire more police officers. But
everything comes out of the taxpayer's budget. I mean,
you have one or two officers stationed at a school, whether it's elementary, middle, or high school. It's not easy to counteract that someone has planned. An officer might be in his office, one officer might be in his vehicle, and you can come inside that. You can come inside the school and just start shooting. People are going to be dead before you even can do anything if you have a high-powered automatic weapon. It's simple to understand and believe. I understand.
Well, yeah, but it's the same. The same teachers in the school have the same type of being able to protect themselves. And like Trump is saying right away, you know, CNN says he wants to arm every teacher. Listen, my mom and aunt were teachers. My cousin's a teacher. I wouldn't want them shooting guns, okay? Now, but you're going to get. You're going to have these retired military people that have. Well, of course, and that's not who Trump is saying he wants to do it. There are plenty of retired military people who, when they come back, are now teaching school that are highly trained for these types of situations. Wouldn't you want to at least have a fighting chance instead of cowering in the corner while a cop waits outside and the guy's inside shooting?
Hey, John, what happens when a teacher has a bad day or a teacher shoots a student inadvertently or a bad situation happens and a teacher shoots a student that should not have been shot? What
teacher's
happens
trying
then?
To play superhero.
Listen,
happens,
you
John?
Can easily program these things so that once the school goes down into lockdown and the kids are in a safe location, that automatically then triggers for those few teachers that are in that school, that will automatically trigger. The minute that school is in lockdown and the alarm goes off, that will give them access to the guns. After the kids have been, you know, hidden in closets and everything else, now they have access to that gun. And they could have them in 5 different locations inside that school, and the shooter has absolutely no idea where they would have it. No, see, that's what
John,
you got to do.
You
got to think
really
outside the box.
You've thought this out, John.
Well, yeah. Absolutely. That's what you do. You think things out. You know, you don't sit there and think, well, what am I going to do if a gunman comes in here? Oh, I'm going to jump out the window. I'm going to hide behind a desk. No, you don't do that. You are now in a situation where you have to go into self-preservation mode, and you're going to figure out a way to do this. And to sit back and be a coward and just sit there and hope someone's going to come and save you is ridiculous. It's one of the most frustrating things when I talk to people. It's like, you know, what are you going to do to protect yourself? Well, I'm going to wait for the police to show up. Well, we know that didn't happen in Florida.
Oh, wow.
The police showed up, but they didn't do anything. What's the problem?
Exactly.
Let me ask you a question. Hey,
well,
I'm
want to
sure
jump
answer.
In a second and ask, because Bruce hasn't said anything about this. Bruce, where are you on this?
Well, I go back to, you guys are going to scoff at this, but the most emotional part of this puzzle that is indeed an important part is guns. People divide on the issue of calling it gun control. Let's call it something. I don't care what we call it. I do think there needs to be some kind of additional protection, safety, some way to make us a little smarter on who gets their hands on guns, irrespective of someone that's a crook or in some illegal way can get one. That's always going to happen. So all we can do is try and bring it down. But the other thing we seem to forget, the three most vested people in this problem are the students themselves. Place yourself in their place in a school nowadays. When I went to school, and most of you did, we never even dreamt of this situation. So the school students, the parents, and the teachers, we have to get them actively involved to decide what else needs to be done, whether it's, as Don said earlier, a revisit, and you've heard this lately, of mental institutions or ways to help people if you don't want to use the stigma of a mental hospital, some way to re-energize a program like that so people get help. They're not just put on the streets, left to get worse, not better. And other things. It's not just the guns. If we took all the guns off the face of the earth somehow, somebody would find another weapon to use. So getting rid of just the weapon is not a button you can push that will solve this problem. It won't. Right. Not alone. Not alone.
All right. I want to, one of the things, we have to get control of this because it's gotten kind of crazy out there, especially in the schools. Do you know what a, let me ask you this question. Do you know what a square root sign is? You know how you draw the square root sign mathematically? You know what that looks like?
A gun.
So in Louisiana, this young man was in
Are
class
you kidding me?
drawing the square root sign.
Oh, my God.
The teacher thought it was a terrorist threat sign, called the police. The police investigated his house, went to his house, through everything to try to find out. And then he had to sit there and work through the problem in front of them to prove that the square root sign was a math thing that he was doing. So it's gotten crazy out there in the schools right now. And I would hate to give anybody in the
school. And that's a teacher I would not want to have a gun.
I wouldn't want
to
have a gun at all.
And also a teacher that doesn't even know basic math. A square root sign is pretty basic.
I would think he would have to be in a math class to be drawing square root signs unless he was just in another class doing some work and did it, and they thought it was a terrorist threat. They thought it was a gun. They thought it was a sign of a gun or terrorist threat.
Oh, Lordy. Help us.
So
hey, you turn Florida sideways and it looks like a gun. They're going to have to go in there and reshape Florida.
That's right. Florida can't exist anymore then under that condition, right?
Bad Oklahoma.
Too bad up here. Now, quickly, the guys, okay, we know that there was a police officer in the school when this happened who didn't do anything, but what they've been kind of keeping quiet is officers that were of the same department showed up and were standing outside when the sheriffs came, and then they all went in together. So that whole department, the reason the police chief is in trouble is because this whole department froze. And then if the sheriff, a whole different department came, and then the officers decided, well, maybe we should go in with them. So I do think that chief of police needs to step down, and all the police are, they need to redo that whole police department right there. What do you think, Bruce? You were saying something about.
I did hear about that, David, and I guess another question that would come to mind before I say fire the lot of them is, we don't know the circumstance. Maybe with people and police officers being so sensitive, I don't care what color, what nationality they are, we've got a hypersensitive situation in so many places now. There may be an environment in that particular police department that says, don't you dare go in or do anything till the assistant police chief, the police chief, this one, that one, or whatever, get there. And you, we don't know. I haven't heard that, unless any of you have. That,
I have. The chief of police said his training, he should have went in immediately.
Yeah, as a ex-police officer, I know that what my training was, is something's going on, it doesn't matter who, what, when, where, you go out and save lives. You go out and help. You know, we'll analyze it after it's over with, and you can tell us why you did what you did. But if something is up, you need to go handle it. So that the that department, and then that department needs a new training, and it needs new people from the top down, because they all,
that's right,
the whole department froze. That's crazy. Something's wrong with that department, and that started.
Better be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
The environment was wrong, and they should have gone in to help. People were being attacked in there, for God's sake. That's what they're supposed to do.
Quick question, guys. How many officers were there already, and this guy decided, I think this BSO officer decided not to go in? It was it 3 officers already?
No, just one. And if you read the arrest report, it was stated on there that the police that was there was given a tip a couple of weeks earlier that this person was making threats, and he recognized the subject coming up to the school with a duffel bag. That's in the police report that I saw today.
John, how did you get that, John?
All you got to do is Google it.
Hey, John, you should be a private investigator a little bit there.
Well, you know what? A lot of my customers who I have to deal with, federal judges and stuff, I've had to meet with federal marshals. I've had to meet with local police departments on how to secure their homes and residences. So, you know, it's a lot of the stuff I run into on a daily basis, with customers being picked up by armed security guards. You know, they're CEOs of GM and Ford and all these big banks and everything else. I mean, I've seen a lot, and I've had a lot of interaction with the people and the security people and everything else. So, you know, I learned from what some of the situations I've been in.
Gotcha.
Let me also keep saying that, It's no excuse for the one officer or authoritative person that was there, that most of these shootings happen less than 5 minutes, and the response time usually is more than 5 minutes for the police department.
Correct.
All right. I guess we've done enough talking about that, but I wanted to move around the table. I'm going to start with Bruce. You said you had something you wanted to talk about. What is it?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get out of politics, and I want all you guys to give me your opinion. I'm in a couple of stores today running errands, and, you know, you're within earshots of parents and kids. And, my gosh, ran into so many kids today. That, well, I want this. Why can't I have it now? And I got 5 different versions of that, and I said, oh, my God. I mean, so my question in all that spoiledness that I witnessed today is, and I take part of the blame, is when I mentor people, I'll say, I'll take part of the blame because my generation, the baby boomers, were taught by our parents enough to earn either the respect for acquiring things or getting things and so forth. My generation, some of us more guilty than others, decided we're going to make it easier on our kids. We're just going to give them things for not completely, but, you know, make it much more easier. I'm not so sure that we did them any favors by short-circuiting the idea of letting them learn the lesson of value and all that. What do you guys think? I know we all have different degrees on how we've raised our kids, and I've tried to teach them that. But witnessing that in the store like five times today within an hour, I said, oh, my gosh. I mean, we as a generation did a lousy job or didn't do a very good job. What do you guys think?
I think
I can take that. I can take that one for you, Bruce. You know, we got a generation of children raising children. That's the whole thrust of the matter. And when you and I grew up, I don't know if your dad ever said this to you, but mine certainly said it to me. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out.
So did Bill Crosby. He said that too.
Okay, and I heard that. But most importantly, I knew how to act when I was in public because my parents taught me how to act when I was in public. And if I made a big ruckus out in public, oh, man, all they had to do was look at me. I knew that look.
Yep.
They could look at me, and I knew that I had to tame it down. You know, if I couldn't get that bubble gum or that zoom zoom or wang wang, then I needed to be cool. Let me put it that way. Or they were going to take me out of the store, take me to the car, and put that belt on my butt. You spare the rod, you spoil the child. It goes back to that old saying.
And I agree with you a lot. And for people that say, you know, it's child abuse, nobody's sanctioning child abuse. What we're sanctioning is child discipline, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. And if you want to call it child abuse, what I just said, then you take the child home and raise them and feed them and take care of them.
Well, you're also teaching respect, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you go out and you work, you know, and you work hard for something and you go out and buy it, and you're going to feel more gratification knowing that your hard work resulted in being able to go out and buy that, you know, whatever it is, a car, truck, you know, who knows, whatever.
Whatever.
Always kind of the. Well, and it's awesome, you know. Then you see the ones that were handed the stuff, and you know they'll jump in your truck with muddy shoes and you know greasy hands and want to eat their junk food in your truck, and it's like, you know, you have absolutely no respect for my stuff. Well, you know what? It's just a truck. No, it's a truck that I worked my ass off to be able to afford, and now you're going to come in here and disrespect my stuff just because you might be handed something and you don't have the same type of respect because you didn't earn it. You know, I have no respect for you, and I think we've lost that on a lot of these millennials and everything else. I mean, you know, back in the day when I was younger, we used to go to car shows and stuff and boat shows and different types of shows to see the different things, Autorama and, you know, things like that. And nowadays, these kids, they don't care about any of that stuff. They want to play their video games, you know, and sit home and do nothing. And but yet they want everything handed to them. They expect that, you know, when they turn 18, they're going to get a car or, you know, something like that. And it's, you know, there's nothing like working for what you can afford to buy and having that product or whatever that you're, you know, that you feel proud to own by working for it.
And then John, you're absolutely right. And then we got a situation where kids want certain things and we, some parents will give in and just try to go overboard. Well, my parents didn't give me these things, so I'm going to make it easier for my children. Well, this is why we were spending so much time for the past half hour dealing with a situation where a young man had guns in his home. Now, there's no way my child would have that many guns in my house. That just wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen. You know, and the thing is, I don't care what you have, but when you bring it into my house, it's my house.
That's right.
Well, don't you think part of it too is the breakdown of the family unit? I mean, our parents, the family unit was much stronger than it is now. And like you said, I think you said it, Don. Children being raised by children instead of children being raised by parents or a lack of parents. Is placating them by just saying, here's something, now go play, don't bother me. Your mother's not around, so I'll help you. I'll do this so you think better of me as the father, or vice versa. None of that works. Children need to be taught right and wrong. They need to know what limits are. Again, not in an abusive way, but in a proper way as a parent, and learn the lessons that will help you when you grow up and become an adult. And we're not doing them any favors. I've used the term, too, when we said, oh, we'll just give them things to make it their life easier. We're actually making their life harder because they don't understand things aren't going to be handed to them when they're out on their own.
And then again, we got a situation where 65% of the homes in America are without a male or a father in the home. I mean, it's ridiculous. No leadership. I'm not saying a woman can't provide leadership. Don't get me wrong. I know this is a man's voice, but let me say this. A man in the home is totally different than a man absent the home.
One of the analogies that I read just recently was all of the mass shooters lately were from single homes where there were no male disciplinarians around.
Exactly. There's a big difference, David. It's a big difference.
Right.
And you can take this one step farther. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about is what Bruce had said, what he had heard, you know, overheard where a kid wanted something. Well, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago where we had an individual who was waiting in line to check out, and it wasn't his kid, and he heard another, a kid telling his dad he wanted something, and the guy who wasn't related to him at all actually disciplined the child and spanked his ass twice. As parents, how do you guys feel about somebody else disciplining your own child?
No, you can't do that. No.
But, I grew up on a neighborhood where it took a village, and the village was everybody on the neighborhood. If you got caught doing something, they might.
That's right.
Have done
yeah.
That was
well,
then.
Villages are gone, though. Now, we're lucky if we have a family unit, let alone a village that wants to. What?
One of the things that I've noticed recently, following up on Bruce, kids who are in stores who want things and whining and stuff, they're hitting back. Not hitting back. They're hitting because they're not getting back because the parents aren't hitting them. They're hitting the parents. They'll walk up to the parents and just hit them and tell them, I want this and you're mean and all those kinds of things. So I think not disciplining our kids, now the kids are hitting back. So there's something wrong with that analogy, whereas we can't hit our kids, but our kids are now hitting us back or hitting us because they want something. I think
they're learning, David. They're learning the wrong things. If we don't teach them the right things, they'll learn the wrong things.
Okay, so men that are listening now, let's solve this issue. How do we solve that issue? I think there's some disciplining, and there was a cartoon I saw, and I think I sent it out, that had this boy playing video games, and he had all this latest tools and things in his room, and the comment was, Mom, I told you I can't pause a game. I don't have to. She was asking him to do something, and he was like, I've told you so many times I can't pause a game, so I can't do that right now. And the next cartoon was his room was empty. She took everything out the room, so he didn't have that to say.
Pull the plug out of the wall there.
Yeah, for the men that are listening, I think, we're not supposed to, and there is also where a little boy called the police to report that his mom had just spanked him with a belt. But when the police came, he told them, well, I did this and she spanked me. Well, the police then chastised him and said, she was right. She was disciplining you. She was not hurting you. So I think legally we need to get it back to our politicians, and no one has trust in them to do anything anymore, but for the police officers and things, not just, if somebody calls and says they spanked me, it is not the question of what did you do? Did you do anything wrong? They don't even ask that question. They take you away, put you in handcuffs and take you away. It's not a grandmother, 72-year-old grandmother, send a little kid out. She stole something from the store, sent her out to get a switch. Got the switch, spanked the little girl. The little girl called the police. They put the 72-year-old grandmother in jail. Nobody said anything to the little girl about stealing, And I think our laws have just gotten out of control. And for me, once again, to fix it, we need somebody our politicians in it. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but I do think there should be a movement to get that done. What are you thinking, Jeremiah?
I totally agree. I more than 100%, probably like 150%.
But Jeremiah, let me ask you a question. You are in your 20s. You seem to be level-headed and got things on straight. How were you disciplined in your generation? How are you disciplined? I think you probably were. It seems you. How were your friends disciplined? How were most of your friends, I think, disciplined for the things they did?
All right, so me, I'm old school. I mean, what I grew up around was old school as well. But I think that, for example, I have a niece. She's like 21 years old. She has a kid. Like we said earlier, it's the children having children now. Before you even understand responsibility, understand a lot of things in life, they're having kids. So I think kids are not – parents are not able to discipline like they should in some cases, but then there are some cases where the parents just are not doing it. They're instead of talking to the child, they talk at the child. So the level of comprehension of what's done wrong and what's perceived to be done wrong is not there. I think there's another issue, which is a lot of men are not in the household. And some men could say, yes, it's the child's mother. She doesn't want me around, or a lot of excuses. But I think that if you know that's your child, and if you could do a DNA and find out that's your child, I would do so, because it's going to make a huge difference in that child's life. As we can see of late, even I didn't have my father in my life 0% of the time. So I know how it can affect. I was raised by my mom, by herself, whatever. No stepdad, just my mom. So the only reason why I was attentive and did not make a lot of bad decisions and I was a kind of strict kid myself is because I saw my brothers and sisters make those mistakes and mess up and torment my mom with different things. So I didn't want to do this. I grew up seeing my mom being tormented by her children. I didn't want to do the same thing. That's probably one of the reasons why I made different decisions. My mom had 11 kids, so I had time to see a lot of stuff. I was a baby. That's part of the issue. And like I said, we don't talk to her. We talk at our kids instead of talking to our kids. And when it comes to disciplining, we just think that we yell and curse at them, don't do that bleep anymore. That's solving the issue. You know what I mean? So,
Do me one favor. Define talking to your kids to talking at your kids. For you, what does that mean to you?
Okay, to me, it's your child understanding. You sitting down with your child and helping them understand what they did wrong, why they shouldn't have done it. And that starts at an early age as well. Because, like, for example, let me give you an example. My mom told me, you know, if I ever stole something out of the store, to her, that means, and she wanted me to think about it like this. If you ever steal anything, it's not about you're doing wrong, you're doing right. It makes you less of a person to steal something. And she programmed in my head, if you grow up stealing, you'll never be able to afford what you stole. So it's like, make you think less of stealing. So she's like, you steal a pack of gum, that means you can't afford a pack of gum. And I'm thinking like, I don't ever want to feel like or be able to not afford a pack of gum. So I never stole anything. All right, so talking to your child, sitting them down, help them understand, you know, why not steal something and why this and why that versus just talking at them, meaning, Jeremiah, you're bleep horrible, you're cursing, you're fussing, which is not helping your child understand exactly what's done wrong or what needs to be done. So just yelling, cursing, that's talking at them.
All right, let me say this. One of the things that stopped a lot of us from doing wrong was because when we got home, what would happen? So we had discipline in our mind. We knew if we got home, or you would get those. If you got home and your dad was at work and your mom was there, get those words you didn't want to hear, wait till your dad gets home. But now kids don't, they're not afraid. I mean, they don't, if I I do something, I'm going to go home, but they're not going to do anything to me, so I don't have to. So I'm not. I have nothing. So how does a young family do some? Where is that? Where is that thing that makes kids say I shouldn't do this because this will happen to me? Because we took it away from them. I think that
we're not whooping that beep anymore.
You know, Jeremiah, you did a very good job of explaining too. Your mother did a very good job of explaining that candy situation. She explained to you it wasn't good to steal, but the reason why you shouldn't steal is because you can't afford it. The reason why you stole it because you couldn't afford it. And she gave you morals as to working and trying to afford it opposed to stealing it. And I think Correct. It's communication. It's how we talk to young people. And see, I have a daughter. She's 24 years old. She has a child. And I've been telling her that she needs to talk to her son instead of yell at him. And when you do that, you're able to get it across as to Junior why you shouldn't do that, and he listens and he understands why he shouldn't do that, opposed to telling him, don't do that, I'm going to beat your blink, you'll beat your A again. That is not the way you communicate. But like I Correct. Said before, we got children raising children. And what I mean by children raising children, not in age, but in mentality, in maturity. They're immature
Correct.
People raising immature people, children raising children. And, man, that's where we got in the world today. And that's a travesty. We need male leadership in the home. I mean, I can't tell you how valuable it was to have a father in my home. I had a great father that taught me how to be a man, that taught me how to act like a man, that taught me how to respect a woman, that taught me how to respect people, you know, and that was so valuable in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me share something with you.
Sure.
I agree exactly with what Jeremy and Don both said. Remember recently there was the subject of daddy-daughter dance, and in one of these towns, a number of daughters or young girls had no fathers, and they had asked a couple to show up to be their surrogate fathers for the night. Well, they got like 100 men,
right.
Way more than what they had asked for, and it shows you that there's other ways to make a connection and get some father figure activities, let's call it, in a child's life. For example, big brothers, big sisters. But a lot of people don't do that because they can't make as long a commitment as they think they have to make. That's debatable, but let's leave that lie. So why couldn't we have opportunities where single mothers with their children or single fathers with their children could make a connection, something as simple as a volunteer sort of thing, a network where someone could show up and just help talk to them, have a conversation, not a dictation, on certain values at a level that the child understands, just to get some influence in their life. I think there would be a lot of single men and single women and vice versa that would show up to help, that want to help, but there's no venue to do it.
One of the things I do think, though, is men have a bad rap being evil people. Women, for example, if you did a poll on a man taking his daughter into the men's restroom to use the restroom versus a woman taking her son into the women's restroom to use, most women think that's a crime for a man to take his daughter into the restroom. So men have a bad rap already. In their mind, things going to happen because he's a man and that's what they do. Our image, you know, nationwide or worldwide because it's gotten, and it's the way the press, I think, has posted us. So all the good men who are out there are, you know, I don't want bad things because I don't know what my kid is going to be doing. So I think that we're going to have you're going to have to step outside the box and go to these agencies like Boys and Girls or Big Brothers and things like that to find what they're looking for. But I think men should join those organizations. But the reason they don't is because there's a hassle with having to deal with the families, you know. So what about you, Don? In the church side, there seems to that we have always used the church for these kinds of things, but the church hasn't stepped up to the plate.
I think the you're right, David. The church has not lived up to its true responsibility. In fact, a lot of young people are shying away from the church, and that's a travesty because I grew up in the church. In fact, I always say my parents had a drug problem. They drugged me to church. You know, they didn't use, but they had a drug problem. So, you know, but the thing is, it taught me morals. It taught me value. It taught me spiritual principles. And that's what we're missing today, spiritual principles. You know, how to deal with things from a spiritual point of view and not a soulish issue or a physical issue. And that's where the church needs to really step up. And I'm praying that it happens and it lives up to its creed.
Isn't it interesting, Don, on what you just said, that the church, whatever your faith was, or your personal religion, had a much stronger place in people's lives, it seems.
Yes. Yes.
Several decades ago than they do now.
That's right.
What you're saying.
It didn't make any difference what religion you are. I'm not concerned with what religion you're in.
No.
I'm concerned with you being spiritual opposed to religious.
Yeah.
So what do you think for a young lady that is listening and saying, I need to do something with my son? You're saying that she should find a male role model somewhere, and if it's neighbors and you don't trust them or something because you don't really know them, then you need to find an agency or something to pair up with.
Why not go to
a big brother or
some agency and say, look, I'm struggling. I can't do it all. I don't have all the answers. I think a male influence, a good male influence, if only for a day or longer, would help me. You bet some of those people would connect her with somebody.
Yes.
I agree, but how do you get that word? This is a big issue. We all seen the little kids down in Beatney. There was a little kid in a barbershop that actually fought with his mom because he didn't want to hear that. I mean, the guys in the barbershop tried to calm him down, but he was beating her up, just beating her up with his fist, and they kept telling him, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing that, and he wasn't getting it because he knew that as soon as he left with his mom, he could do what he wanted to do. He wasn't listening to that man. So I do think that's an important issue. That's something that's missing, and I think to get to the women that are listening,
David,
the daughters and the mothers, yes, sir.
Let me end with a quick example of just that. About 6 months ago, I was in a barbershop. That's what you made me think of it. A mother was having all kinds of fearful problems with her young son for all the obvious reasons. And he was really upset. And I said, I looked at her and I said, can I try? And she knew what I meant. She said, go ahead. And I told the little boy that we run the Polar Express and we go see Santa. He calmed right down. I just distracted him from what was going on as the stylist kept cutting his hair. He was perfectly fine. I didn't do anything special other than be another person that could talk to him and calm him down when mom just didn't know how. That doesn't make her a bad mom. It's just a situation.
Right.
Uh-oh, Bruce, you owe the Warner Brothers 30% of your salary.
Yeah, I know. The real Polar Express. Excuse me.
Wow. All right, so we got about 90 seconds out. One question I just asked, do you believe in life on other planets? Do you believe there might be some life out in the world somewhere, Don?
Do I believe in life on another planet?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Me? No.
So John and Jeremiah.
Okay, we got John's answer. What about you, Jeremiah?
I don't know. I don't want to think about it, honestly.
Why would you not want to think about it if there was life
why
somewhere?
Why did you want to think about it?
It's some things you want to know, and there's some things you don't want to know.
Wouldn't you want to know if somebody's coming down to land in your front yard? Don't you think you want to know that?
What? Yeah, but that's some scary stuff to think about.
Okay.
It's crazy to me.
Okay, what about you, Bruce? What do you think?
David, who says it has to be some kind of bestiality kind of thing? It could be a plant, for gosh sake.
Yeah.
Do I believe there's some kind of life on another planet or another rock? Absolutely.
E.T.
Well, you know,
okay.
We can start out with
E.T.
this next time, but they just found 7 planets. They're thinking that these planets have the ability to have life on them.
They say Mars has evidence of water.
Yeah, but these planets were there all the time, and we're supposed to be so good at this astrology that we didn't know the planets were there. But anyway, we want to thank everybody for listening.
Hurricanes.
We'll be here again next week at 6 o'clock. We had a nice show tonight, and we want you to have a nice week. You guys have a great – my panelists, guys, have a good time. See you again next week. Goodbye.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Let's go, Kings. Miami Hurricanes. The U. Thank you.